when I think of level funding arrangements, I think of Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Because I think of one end, you've got fully insured here. And then at the other end, you've got self-funding. And I think level funding is like
just
that.
Right.
It's just right.
Hello, everyone. I'm Kenzie McEvely, the producer and host of McGowan Braybender's employee benefits podcast, Side Effects. With nearly 15 years of experience at McGowan Braybender, today's guest is an extremely qualified choice to talk about level-funded health insurance plans. Liz Schneider is the Executive Vice President of Emerging Markets and understands the evolving landscape of employee benefits, especially for small businesses. She is well-versed in the latest industry trends and regulations. One trend that has been steadily gaining momentum is the growth of level-funded health plans. This innovative approach to employee healthcare benefits has become a viable middle ground between fully insured and self-funded insurance plans, offering businesses a flexible and cost-effective solution. According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, the percentage of small employers on level-funded health plans has increased from 13% in 2020 to around 40% today. We're going to discuss the advantages and disadvantages of this arrangement, why this plan is especially attractive to healthier groups, and why the surge in popularity. Let's get started. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Side Effects. I'm Kenzie, MB's digital experience producer, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chief Marketing Officer, Dave Holman. Welcome, Dave.
Thanks. Great to be here.
And we are continuing the trend here of tapping into our own MBers as guests for the show, which is very exciting for us. So we are going to continue our funding arrangements conversation with Executive Vice President of Emerging Markets, Liz Schneider. Welcome, Liz.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're very welcome. We're so happy you're here on the couch with us. Your first podcast, correct?
I know. I can't believe it's taken 134 podcasts.
Yeah.
And how many? You guys to invite me to attend. But like I said, I'm happy to be here. And let's get it rolling.
And how many years have you been at MB?
Well, I have stopped at a decade, but no, I've been here just over 15 years.
So over 15 years and you're making your first cameo.
Yeah. We got to get
appearance. We got to
make this happen more often.
I know.
Well, let's see how I do first.
That's
well,
true.
Yeah.
Now, we expect big things from Liz. She is one of our brightest young employees. And I say young still because you still are very young.
Well, I don't feel young, Dave, but hey, keep the compliments coming, huh?
All right. So for our listeners, you may have come from our previous episode, which was about self-funding. So we're going to discuss another option, which is level funding. It's a type of self-funding, and it's unique to the marketplace. It combines financial predictability and the control and information you want with also an opportunity to benefit from a positive claims year. Is that correct, Liz?
You're correct, Kenzie.
Okay, that was from Google, so thank you for Google for that, yes.
I should preface that the landscape of small employer healthcare options has drastically changed, I would say, with the passing of the Affordable Care Act. If you would have told me, you know, 10 or 15 years ago that roughly 40% of small employers would be under a self-funded arrangement, I would have called you a liar. But this is, you know, where we stand today. And I would say what's particularly attractive to employers, especially those who had been previously fully insured, is that they can look and feel very similar to a fully insured arrangement. But the added bonus of a level funded plan is that you have the potential for a return of premium and also access to reporting information, which they may have not had access to at all in the past. Or if so, it was on a much more limited basis.
That's nice.
Yeah. So, Liz, I think maybe even backing up for our listeners, like why are you here? What qualifies you to speak about level funding in an emerging market?
Like, sure.
Can you explain to our listeners about your background and where your expertise lies?
So when I started down this path at McGowan Braybender, I predominantly work with small employers. And as most of you probably know, we have gone through different levels of transition in regards to how we manage our client book. And it just so happened that I landed to working specifically with small employers. So aside from the book of business that I manage, I also oversee all of our markets that you know operate working with small employers. So as an organization, we represent over 700 customers in the under 50 space. So we have plenty of experience at, you know, surveying all the options and deciding what's best for our customers.
Okay. So as we get into this, and you talked at a very high level about what a self-funding arrangement is, but mm-hmm. I think maybe just jumping in and explaining, I think when I think of level funding arrangements, I think of Goldilocks and the Three Bears, because I think of one end, you've got fully insured here. And then at the other end, you've got self-funding. And I think level funding is like
just
that.
Right.
It's just right in the middle for the right exactly. employer. So can you kind of walk through that for our
sure.
listeners?
So essentially, the carrier's underwriting team will issue a set of fixed premium equivalent rates, which happens in self-funding. They range anywhere from roughly 110 to 125 of expected claims. These fixed premiums.
So for our listeners who may not sure. know, when you say like 125, so explain what that means.
So when a client goes and completes applications, you know, all of their employees are surveyed and they submit their information to the insurance carrier, they're going to look at the historical information that they can gather from those claims, the claim data in the applications, and then they're going to estimate where they think claims will fall.
Okay.
So when I say 110 to 125% of expected, is they're going to go above and beyond where they assume claims will fall, mm-hmm. and they're going to embed that level of additional risk into the rates so that a small employer is, I would say, a little bit more protected mm-hmm. in the event that things perform a little bit worse than what they would have initially expected.
Nice.
Okay.
Okay.
So you've got the funding part of it there.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then how does that work month to month, or like what is when a claim is processed, or how is that paid? How is that different than fully insured, where they just pay a set premium every month and then they don't have to worry about it? When they win or they lose, chances are they lose.
Sure.
But
so what makes these plans unique is it's in the title of the plan, mm-hmm. a level funded plan. So where it's similar to a fully insured arrangement is when they set the expected claims, if your enrollment doesn't change, what you pay is the same month to month.
Okay.
You're just paying it at a higher level than where they assume your claims will fall. But the nice aspect of it is that if your claims perform better than what was expected, so let's say they're billing you at 125% of mm-hmm. what they expect. If you come in at 105% with a fully insured arrangement in the past, they would have kept that excess in premium. And you have no way of knowing how your plan performed. So what's unique about these plans is instead you're getting reporting each month that will tell you where your claims are falling in regards to the premium that was collected. And then you get a portion of that money returned back to you.
And that's at the end of the year, not the month, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
You'll find out information on a month-to-month basis, mm-hmm. but that potential of return of premium doesn't come till the contract ends.
So that sounds great, but what happens for the group that's running hot? And
over
let's say
125?
Claims are coming in at 150.
Yeah. So in a traditional self-funding arrangement, you would be on the hook to pay all of that, right?
The difference, the delta, whatever that is. Yeah.
So what's nice about the level funded plans is the fact that although you're running worse than what they expected or what you even expected, you're not asked to furnish a difference. That the carrier eats the difference in claims.
Wow.
So there's that level of protection for like a small to mid-sized employer that they would not have under a self-funded arrangement because they're on the hook for all of it. Now, the caveat to that is you're going to expect an increase in those expected rates mm-hmm. in the years to come.
Mm-hmm.
So when clients are looking at a level funded arrangement, you cannot expect to have a return of premium year after year. I don't mm-hmm. think that's realistic.
It's not realistic.
No.
Yeah.
But again, you're having access to that information, which is something that you have not most likely had previously.
The reporting, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So with that, I'm just curious. You've obviously seen people in your segment jump into this. Do they typically do well? Is it 50-50? Is it just good year, bad year, good year, bad year? Or?
So historically speaking, in the small employer world, we have thought of our health insurance plans on a year-to-year basis, right? And there haven't been a lot of options to consider. So this gives employers the option to think of it more of a multi-year strategy. And I say that because with the access to information, you can look at incorporating population health into your plan designs. because in years past, you didn't know how the plan was performing, down to like granular to the person, like which claims were taking place, where were they going, you know, were there metrics you could pull to try to avoid future claims? So when you have access to that information, even in a bad year, you can try to plan for future years by incorporating some of those programs.
Yeah, we try to say with fully insured in a good year, the carrier wins. In a bad year, the carrier wins.
Yep.
Yeah.
So
you have to look at this in multiple years. And I would say on average, expect out of every 3 years that 1 year you're going to have a bad claims year.
Okay.
In my experience.
Yeah, but this isn't a short game. This isn't something, it's not a 1 year strategy, jump in, jump out.
Correct.
It's a commitment.
Yeah. Okay. So as we're hyping it up a little more, are there any more benefits that you can share for our employers? You know, we talked about being effective. It's predictable. The reporting's nice. What else do they get?
Is a lot of it a sense of control? They feel like they finally have a voice.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. As I just mentioned, what makes these plans more effective than a traditional fully insured plan is that you can kind of pull those levers with population health, which you have not been able to do in the past. And as I mentioned, that, you know, excess premium dollars that are coming your way, which would have previously gone to the carrier. They're predictable in the sense that the employer's cost does not fluctuate month to month, which I also mentioned, Dave.
Yeah.
So you can have that expectation of what you will pay. And unless enrollment changes, the costs are all included. Yeah.
So can you explain to our listeners that are maybe fully insured and not self-funded, how does that change month to month? If you're self-funded, you pay the bill at the end of every month,
typically,
right?
Typically speaking, you're going to fund money into an account and you're paying on like a week-by-week basis.
Oof. Yeah.
So what is so nice about this for small employers is just like you would have had in a previously fully insured arrangement, you know what to expect, and it's a level premium each month.
Yeah, and it's a little bit more, even though you may have to pay out at the end, you can budget. Like cash flow is not as big, especially for a small employer, that that it could be.
Yeah, since they're billing you at that expected rate or even beyond what they expected, there aren't any surprises that would have come in a traditional self-funded arrangement. Yeah.
Okay.
Have you done any level funding implementations lately?
I have. My team has done quite a few. Believe it or not, these products are competitively priced, and more carriers are entering the marketplace with competitive options. So in terms of, you know, installing a level funded plan, once the carrier has completed the market review, and let's say you have a spreadsheet in front of you with all of these options, I would say you need to give yourself ample time to research network, pharmacy, and coverage disruption.
Okay.
With any carrier change, those will inevitably come up. So if you give yourself time and you communicate these changes to your employee base up front, it's going to be vital for a successful launch.
Okay.
I would also say that you have to keep in mind that the contracts and applications, once you've signed them on the dotted line with level funded plans, it's not set in stone. Because they're medically underwritten, things can change. So during open enrollment, that gives employees the option to make a change to their coverage. So if we have someone who maybe previously said they wanted to waive coverage, but now they want to enroll, their application has to go back to the carrier and they have to re-underwrite the group. So in my experience, when you're going to install one of these, there could be multiple iterations of the proposal before the final rates are indeed final. So it can be tricky because we're going out and communicating one thing to the employees, but it could change. So you have to kind of be not a skeptic, but understand that going in, that it can change even on a day-to-day basis in that month of open enrollment.
Keeps you on your toes. Well,
does that change quite a bit? Do you run into that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can tell you, I haven't had a level funded install where we've had the final rates at that initial quote and they landed to be what they were when it was all said and done. Wow. So that is something to expect.
So that's one thing to consider when you're looking at it. What other things should an employer consider when looking at level funding?
You know, not all level funded plans are created equal. And in my, you know, opinion, in my experience, if something appears to be good to be true, it probably is.
Especially in, yeah, healthcare benefits.
You have to be really careful to review the small print of the contracts and understand exactly what you're signing. So, you know, specifically, what are those stop loss limits that are built into the plan? I didn't have a chance to mention this earlier, but what's nice, because it is technically self-funded, stop loss comes into play. You know, you have to be aware of what those limits are. But unlike a traditional self-funded plan, you yourself don't go out and source the stop loss vendor or set those limits. Those are set by the carrier.
Okay, so it's, you need it. You need to have stop loss with it. And for those of you that aren't familiar with self-funded plans, you have a stop loss element of your plan. And what that does is that protects the plan against something catastrophic that could otherwise just paralyze the group, decimate them. Mm-hmm. What that does is it says you may have, let's say it's a $50,000 limit. So you're on the hook for the first $50,000. And then after that, the stop loss carrier picks up. So I can only imagine for larger employers, we see a preemie baby, a transplant, a bad car accident. Right. Those are things that would absolutely destroy a small employer.
Exactly.
If you didn't have that protection. So this makes it a more attractive, viable option.
Exactly. And it's the carrier underwriters who are setting those limitations for you. So, you know, if you're a risky business owner and you're willing to take that risk, they're only going to let you take a certain amount. Mm-hmm. It's not up to you to put yourself in that situation. So I think that's what makes it particularly interesting and attractive to small employers.
So are there specific industries or types of company that would lean towards this? I feel like
you would think, but it's not really industry specific whether or not you're a good fit. You just have to have a slight tolerance for risk. Mm-hmm. You know, a fairly stable claims history is going to be important because, again, there's going to be a potential for a return of premium. So you want to keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense to make this jump if year after year you historically have bad claims. I would say also something to keep in mind is there is some more administrative work behind offering a level funded plan. So there are specific compliance requirements that may have been taken care of by the fully insured carrier in the past, which are now going to fall on your lap.
Your HR team, which probably isn't huge if it's a smaller employer.
Yep. So you just, again, need to know this going into, you know, signing yourself up for a level funded plan and making sure you're aware of what requirements fall on your plate that may previously had not been. And so you have the right team and, you know, in place to take care of it.
So we've talked a lot about the positives here, mm-hmm. but there's always, you know, part of your role and responsibility is to show and talk about the downsides or the drawbacks.
Sure.
What are, when you talk to a client, what are some of the gotchas that you make sure you point out to consider?
So even the best laid plans and intentions can fall short when a large unexpected claim occurs.
Right.
In fully insured arrangements, like you probably have had, you know, insured with previously, only a portion of your group's actual claims experience is included in the calculation to determine your renewal rate. This is called a plan's credibility factor. So for most small employers, the portion of your individual group's renewal that's based on your claims is really small. Mm-hmm. But with these level funded plans, basically, they're looking solely at your group and what your group's performance. So even if you do decide to incorporate population health into your plan, eventually a large claim may occur. So as I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast, you can't expect to have a return of premium year after year. Even though you've done certain things to try to, you know, avoid that from happening, it could. So you just have to be in it for the long haul. I just mentioned a minute ago also about the compliance requirements. Mm-hmm. Failure to, you know, do some of the federal reporting or filing requirements could result in financial penalty to your organization as well. So that's a pitfall that you have to be aware of that you probably weren't paying as much attention to in years past.
Yeah, because typically I would say the market that has the least amount of compliance relative to complexity and frequency would probably be your emerging markets, because most of your groups are fully insured and the reporting and the compliance is pretty straightforward. Am I correct?
Typically, the responsibility falls on the insurance carrier themselves. Yeah. So we'll make sure our clients are aware that there is a requirement, but not to worry. You don't have to take care of it. Good. Someone's doing it on your behalf. But so that's not the case with these plans necessarily. Yeah. It's specific to the carrier. And in a perfect world, they would all do the same thing, mm-hmm. and they don't. It's different. So yeah. you just have to double check.
But that is a consideration, because a lot of the larger employers that are self-funded have a larger team of people that can help out with right. things. And when you're a smaller organization, you're wearing three or four hats.
Exactly.
So it's a consideration.
It makes me worry about what if you have just a really unlucky year and you have four people have major claims. Is there something like customizable that you can do? I know you said that like over the years, it'll come back at them, but what do you do in like a really unlucky year?
Well, remember, even if your claims exceed what was expected, you're not on the hook for the difference.
Right.
So you sort of have to ride out that wave of that really bad claims year and hope that the next year will be brighter and they will adjust your premiums accordingly.
Yeah.
So you're going to expect an increase, right?
Yeah.
And it's warranted, but hopefully that adjustment is correct. And next year you'll be, you know, above the threshold and you'll get some return in premium.
Yeah. They're going to treat it could be a large claim, but it's a non-recurring. It was like a one-off. That's going to be treated differently than a newly diagnosed, you know, cancer case in your group or something where there's a long trail there.
And I think something else to keep in mind is the carrier doesn't want to set you up to fail. So that's the job of their underwriting team. They're going to review those claims applications. And if you have previous claim history, they'll be able to utilize that to see if you are a good fit. In my experience in market reviews, these are not an option for everyone, and the rates alone will tell you whether you're a good fit or not.
Right. So how do level funding arrangements impact the employees' access to healthcare and their overall experience with their health benefits?
Sure. So believe it or not, it looks and feels very similar to most likely a fully insured plan that they have had previously. Network access, you know, drug coverage, that doesn't really differ if you have a fully insured plan versus a level funded plan with another carrier or the same carrier, honestly. It looks and feels very similar. I think the one aspect that makes this unique to employees is that if communicated appropriately, they can understand that how they utilize the plan will actually impact the financial, you know, predictability and that return for premium in the future. Where in the past, regardless of how they use the plan, quite honestly, it didn't matter because there wasn't ever the chance for the group to earn money back.
Right.
It was just a fully insured plan. It was not very credible. So the costs were all lumped in with hundreds of or thousands of other employers that the carrier was insuring. So if you can communicate that what they're doing matters and hopefully can help reduce future premiums in years to come, that they'll be better stewards of the plan.
Yeah. Their choices matter.
I can just speak personally that over the years, I'll be brought in to speak with groups that are from the emerging market. And you talk to them about things that you can do from communication, from engagement, from population health. But I never really get fully into that and get excited about explaining it to them because they're never going to fully realize in a fully insured arrangement the fruits of their labor. But now it is a different conversation, and we have an entry point for Tiffany and Population Health to go in and talk to a group and get them to be aggressive because they have skin in the game.
Yep, exactly.
Do you have an example of what Tiffany would say to these groups now with like, hey, like, well, do you know?
I mean, now that
give us a spiel.
So with that, you have more access to data.
Correct.
Data is the key. Data tells us everything. Data is what drives all the decisions that Tiffany carries forward to our clients because the data doesn't lie. I mean, you can't hide pre-diabetics in reporting. You can't hide diabetics. You can't hide hypertension, a lot of these different conditions. And what we do is there are 50 things you can concentrate on, but where Tiffany is very good at what she does is she'll work with the account team and we'll determine what could have the biggest potential impact with claims short-term and long-term. Mm-hmm. What improves the health of the population better than other initiatives? And that's the approach that she takes.
And that's what's so unique about these plans, especially to small employers, is previously you literally received zero information. Mm-hmm. So it does differ, you know, carrier to carrier, what level of detail the information comes to you. But hey, anything's better than nothing. Right. And
Liz isn't going to pat herself on the back or try to prop herself up. But I will say this, small group market out in the marketplace has changed significantly as of late because of all these new approaches and funding arrangements that are out there. And so historically, it wasn't a deal breaker depending on the broker or the consultant that you worked with because it's a fully insured plan.
Sure.
I mean, there's only so many levers you can pull. It's just a lot of it is the transaction. How smooth is it? How does it work? Now it's a different ball game, and you need to be working with someone if you're looking at different options that understands things beyond fully insured plans, mm-hmm. understands how to read a contract and understand the ups and downs of stop loss and what's available and how to challenge a carrier on reporting when you're looking at it. Because now it's more of a negotiation almost in some cases because it's your money above and beyond that you're playing with. And so it takes where I'm going with this is you need a sophisticated consultant mm-hmm. working with you. And I want to say it's kind of reverse engineering. It's like it's a market that instead of has gotten simpler, has gotten exponentially more complicated.
No, you're exactly right. And I would say not a pitfall, but with these level funded plans, something you need to be acutely aware of is the return of premium that you could potentially receive, it differs carrier to carrier. Some they'll give you a third, some they'll give you half, some they'll give you all of it back, but you don't know without reading the fine print. The other thing that is unique is some carriers require that you renew in order to receive the return of premium. So I have groups where they're receiving an increase in the expected claims for the next year, but they're also at a surplus. So they're receiving a credit, but they may want to shop the market because maybe they don't feel like that, you know, increase in the expected claims is fair. Well, if they were not to renew, they don't get to reap the rewards of the previous year's performance, which a lot of clients aren't aware of because, again, if they weren't, you know, educated on the small print of the contract, they don't know how it works out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Could you imagine getting that information after and you're like, what?
Well, the other thing, and the other thing too is how is that money coming back to you? Because in some cases, they'll write you a check. In other cases, it'll be a credit to future premiums.
Yep.
So you don't know what you don't know. So you need to make yourself aligned with someone who can certainly give you all those details.
And who's implemented more than one or two of them over time.
Right, exactly.
So that kind of leads into my last question here. We asked Tim Rieger in our self-funding podcast, you have to surround yourself with a lot of good people to make this a success. So do you have any other advice besides that to give to employers who want to possibly explore a level funding arrangement?
Yeah, in my opinion, you have to take the time to do your due diligence in making sure, A, you're lined up with the appropriate broker partner who has done this before, and B, that you're reading, like I mentioned before, reading the small print of the contract so that you can best educate your employees and understand what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
Because although these are very exciting, they are still very new. And we have several carrier partners that are just coming to the market with these products. So, sometimes being the guinea pig can be an exciting thing, but there also can be some pitfalls. So you just need to make sure that you are aware again of what you're getting yourself into so you can be best suited for the coming year.
Excellent advice. Dave, do you have any follow-up comments, questions, additions?
No, this has been great. I'm excited that we finally get to have the emerging market
represented we're here.
We need to have, I'm sure we can come up with some additional topics.
There's we haven't talked about MIWAs yet. Ooh. That's another topic we could consider.
Coming soon.
Oh, imagine that's being able to go to a cocktail party and regale your friends with information about MIWAs.
Oh, yeah.
Who wouldn't want to listen to that podcast?
I know, right?
I know, Liz, I'm lining you up after this that. So,
all right.
Thank you so much for joining us for your first episode and sharing all of your knowledge with us.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me at Kenzie@healthierbirthdays.com
or Dave@healthierbirthdays.com.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on Side Effects.